Chapter 32. The girls stood, frozen in place, when they saw what I was looking at. I had a clear view of the entire room, and nobody was there, but it was a suite. That is when I also noticed that the place was spotless. It was most certainly lived in. The decor was updated to solid complementary blues and silvers, and the carpet seemed new. The candle, however, looked hand-dipped and had burned almost all the way to the bottom. I decided that, not knowing who lit the candle or where they were, the girls and I needed to communicate. So I took my regulator out of my mouth and let it hang on my shoulder. I looked at Veda, expecting her to protest, but instead, she followed suit.
"We've had our regulators in and out enough times that I think a short stint without them will be okay," she whispered, turning to the others. "If you feel any different, put them back in right away."
I turned my attention back to the living room. There was a door at the far end. I could see it was slightly ajar. It had to be the bedroom or a bathroom because it was the only door in the room other than a small closet. I stepped towards the door, the girls sticking closely behind. When we were closer, there was just enough space on either side of the door for us to split into two groups and flank it. Once Sophie, Veda, and I were on the side near the latch, and Delaney and Freya on the other, I slowly put my hand on the door and pushed. It was heavy, but moved easily and didn't make a sound as though the hinges had been oiled recently. After it moved a few inches, I released the pressure and looked inside. There was definitely light coming out of the room, and I could tell by the chest of drawers that was visible from my vantage point that it was indeed the bedroom to the suite. I held my breath and listened. Somehow, all sound had seemed to disappear. Perhaps my heart was pounding too loudly in my ears, but even the general ship sounds had stopped. I let my breath out and pushed the door open a little further. I saw the edge of a queen-sized bed that was made up tight. I continued to push on the door, revealing the bed and a small table on the opposite side of the room. When it was fully pushed back, I could also see a dresser and a small vanity. What I didn't see was anyone in the room.
"There's no one here," I whispered so quietly I could barely hear myself.
"Where would they have gone while leaving a candle burning?"
Sophie whispered back, pointing to the dresser top where another candle was almost burned out. I shrugged, hating the idea of making further noise by talking. We slowly moved into the room, first me, then Sophie and Freya. I stood at the edge of the bed. The comforter was freshly laundered. I could tell by the dryer sheet smell coming from it. Something other than the obvious situation we were in wasn't adding up, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. I turned back to Veda, who hovered in the doorway.
"Why would..."
A sudden slam sounded out, and Freya's body lunged forward. It was as though the wall had just opened up like a door and knocked her over. I barely had time to surge forward and keep her face from hitting the ground before the red and green creature was on us. A hand slammed me hard in the face and pushed so hard my body rolled across the floor. I scrambled to get up, disoriented. All I could hear was Freya's grunts and screams. My head cleared and my eyes focused. The same creature we'd seen in the street was on top of her, rolling her over onto her back. Delaney pushed Veda out of the way and jumped on the beast's back while Sophie yanked at its arm as hard as she could. The damn thing was immensely strong because neither girl was making much progress. I jumped up as it got Freya flipped over, ripped her protective glasses off, and put its hands on either side of her face. She screamed so loud my ears almost bled as panic, rage, and fear flooded over me. It once again felt like I was moving in slow motion as I darted towards her. She tried everything she could not to look into the monster's eyes, but he peeled back her closed eyelids, put his face in hers, and stared.
"Delaney, move!"
I yelled as I neared them, needing her to clear a path so I could knock the beast off Freya. Delaney jumped back, just as I threw myself forward onto Freya's attacker. I felt its body give slightly, but not enough to get him off her. It was like it was tethered to the ground or something. Its back was completely rigid, and I felt its scales slice through my protective suit and into my flesh as I slid across. Wrapping my arm around its neck, I straddled its back, planted my feet on the ground, and yanked back. The beast pulled up off the ground, but had such a grip on Freya's head that she came up with him. I pushed my feet into the ground with every ounce of strength in me, using Freya's screams to force more strength out of myself. The monster was still staring at her, and I was sure we were going to lose her. It had already been too long. Sophie and Delaney, quick on their feet, darted to the other side of the beast, now bent so far back that they could get under Freya's back. They put their hands on her shoulders and pushed as hard as they could. The monster had been expecting them to pull Freya from him, so he shifted his weight incorrectly and lost some balance. I managed to give another fierce yank and get his body straightened up over his back legs. It wouldn't fucking let go of Freya's face. I tried to get my hand wrapped around its head to block its eyes, but its huge feather-like scales were too big. That is when I heard the gurgling and realized I had such a grip on its throat that I was choking it. I reformulated my strategy, locked both arms around its neck, and squeezed as hard as I could. The gurgling got louder before it started to soften, and I knew the creature didn't have any air left in him and wasn't getting any more. I pulled back and squeezed with a strength I didn't know I had. I had crossed over from wanting him off Freya to wanting him dead for having ever touched her. I didn't care about anything else but killing it. Right then, a noise broke through the fury in my head. It was soft at first, but kept getting louder. When I realized what it was, I turned my head. Veda was right beside me, pulling on my shoulder.
Stop! Stop!
Have you lost your fucking mind? I'm gonna kill this thing! Freya's gonna die! I screamed at her, yanking on the creature's neck again.
You have to stop! Veda kept screaming. Look!
She put her hands on either side of my head and turned it a little to my right. She held her arm out and pointed to a mirror across the room from me. The mirror gave me the perfect reflection of the beast's face as it stared at Freya. I squinted, trying to see what Veda wanted me to, as I refused to let go.
It's crying, Stephen. You have to let it go, Veda said, lowering her voice.
I squinted even harder, and I saw the beast's face clearly for the first time. While it was covered in small red scales, each shaped like a feather, there was a definite resemblance to that of a human, and tears were rolling down its face. I instantly didn't care. It was still holding Freya, and I refused to let it live. Besides, weakness began to wash over its body already, and I would not risk it getting any strength back. Freya was the one who changed my mind. With all the rage flowing through me, I hadn't noticed when she stopped screaming. I watched in the mirror as she got her arms up and grabbed the creature's hands, still holding her head. She gave a little tug, and its arms dropped. The beast's entire body sagged right then, but it wasn't from passing out. It was from giving up. Something in me shifted, and I loosened my grip just a little while the monster slumped to the ground, putting its face in its hands. I finally let up enough for it to get a full breath, but it didn't act like it even noticed. It was sobbing almost uncontrollably, and I felt a sense of what the fuck that I'd never quite felt before. Veda ripped one of the monster's hands from its face while Sophie got the other. They twisted them behind its back as I finally let go and took a step back. Veda had it zip-tied within seconds, and we all went to stand in front of it. I didn't know what to make of a scaled beast crying like a little kid on the floor. What the hell is going on? Freya, rubbing the sides of her face, said,
"He started yelling, 'No, no, no,' after he stared at me for what seemed like forever. He was so frustrated that he just started crying."
"It's because he couldn't kill you with his stare," Sophie said. "I'd stake my life on it. The first thing he did was go for your eyes. He obviously thought he was going to accomplish something by doing so."
So why didn't he? Veda asked. We watched that thing scare a person to death in the street just by looking at it.
Sophie leaned forward and slid her finger under one of the beast's scales that was sitting right next to its eye. She grabbed it and yanked it, pulling it off. The creature didn't seem to notice through all its bawling.
Because it's not a beast, it's a human.
Exactly, Delaney agreed.
I looked at the two of them.
When did you figure that out? I was on that thing's back, and there was nothing human about how hard it was to get a grip tight enough to choke it.
Delaney nodded at the doorway.
Right after I saw it jump out on Freya, I saw its hands. They are human hands.
Yes, Sophie agreed. And I thought of something when it started staring at her. It was something Veda mentioned when she first told us about basilisks. They kill with their gaze and with their breath. Nothing was ever mentioned about them slowly poisoning people to death. Plus, it started saying no. Shapeshifters don't talk when they are in their non-human form unless it's telepathically.
I stared at the beast, still leery. If the girls were wrong, we were still in a lot more danger than it seemed. Reaching forward, I pulled a scale off its face as Sophie had done. Then I removed another. They didn't peel the same as, say, pulling off a fish scale. They more popped off. I kept taking them off, and Sophie joined me. Soon, we were staring into the clean-shaven face of a sobbing.